Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to WAMS Radio, broadcasting worldwide on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and we invite you to become a part of the conversation today by calling 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. Our guest today is Peter Palmer. He's a real estate investor, professional public speaker, and motivational speaker. He produces lots of events in the South Florida area. He also hosts his own radio show on 880 The Biz in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area, and it's all about money, and that is the topic on everyone's mind after this brutal last 12 months or so. And it's especially apropos that we talk with Peter during the live broadcast on the day of President Obama's State of the Union address, where topic number one, I'm sure, will be the economy. Peter Palmer, welcome to WAMS.
Thank you for having me on the show today. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Now, you have an interesting background for a financial guy. You're actually a retired firefighter and paramedic.
That's correct. I spent over a decade in public safety as a firefighter paramedic, working for both police and fire departments here in Florida as well as in upstate New York.
Now, does your background as a firefighter, paramedic, prepare you in any way for what you're doing right now? Because you're definitely in the heat of battle with a recession this last 12 to 18 months.
Well, there's a yes and a no to that, because on the surface, the answer, of course, is no. It has nothing to do with real estate except having knowledge of buildings, how they're constructed, and pieces of information along those lines. But the other side of it, it does have a lot to do with real estate, because what I didn't realize back in those days was when people were getting sick or hurt or injured, what I was seeing was actually the first step of what might be an impending foreclosure or financial situation. Outside of the present economy, probably about 80% of foreclosures are typically because of a financial illness or injury in the family, and that's the start of what becomes a financial house of cards that then collapses into a foreclosure. Didn't realize I was looking at that when I was a firefighter, but now take me 15 years later, and that's exactly what I saw.
Hindsight is 20/20. Peter Palmer is our guest today. He's in South Florida, and he's a real estate investor. Also does a lot of work with individual retirement accounts, and we're talking money with him today. If you'd like to be a part of the show, our number is 718-506-1944. So, Peter, I understand from your background as well, you've been a mortgage lender with Bank of America for over a decade now. And in South Florida, that's one of the hardest hit real estate areas in the country. What do you see as you look into your crystal ball for a recovery in the real estate market?
Well, it's going to take some time. The biggest catalyst for any market to recover in real estate is job growth. And if you don't have something that's bringing the jobs to an area, you're not going to have that rebound as quick as you think. What people don't realize is exactly what job growth does and how it influences an area. Now, South Florida relies heavily on tourism. And when companies come in or any business comes in and they say they bring in a new job, for instance, let's say a big multi-conglomerate comes in and brings in 200 new full-time jobs, what they don't realize is for every one full-time job that comes in, it brings in three service sector-related jobs, your dry cleaners, your people who work part-time at the supermarket, your fast food chains. So 200 full-time jobs brings in 600 new service and or part-time jobs into an area. And quite frankly, the real estate market will not rebound unless you have job growth, which, as you mentioned, I'm sure will be a main topic on tonight's State of the Union address.
Sure. And do you have any inkling of what the president's going to have to say and how that might affect things?
Boy, I wish I could see what he was going to say tonight. But I know with our unemployment ratio hovering at heights that we haven't seen in 50, 60, 70 years, that better be number one. That has to be key. Real estate will not come back in South Florida or any other market for that matter unless you have job growth. Just look at an area like Detroit. When's Detroit going to come back? People always ask me. Well, the answer is when are they going to have job growth? And look at the automobile industry. What do you think the prospects are for job growth anytime in the next 20 years? I don't think it's real likely out there right this second, unfortunately. But that's exactly what you need. You need to have job growth in that area. Then you'll start to see the real estate market rebound.
I understand that unemployment in most of Michigan right now is hovering at 18%, and it's just, you know, dire straits. I talked to a gentleman that we do some business with who lives in West Bloomfield, which is an affluent suburb of Detroit, and he says that their housing values have dropped hundreds of thousands of dollars for himself and all his neighbors. And Peter, if you find yourself in that situation, wherever you are, and it's happening all across America, but certainly in places like Florida, Michigan, Arizona, where you're in a house and you find yourself upside down, what's the best strategy?
Well, that's a very good question, and this is probably one of the hardest things for anyone to answer for themselves. You have to step back 10 feet, get out of your own tunnel vision, and look at it as simply a business deal. This would be my recommendation. And I'm saying that from someone who's gone through my own personal financial, what I call character building moments over the decades. If you've got a property that is upside down, you can't afford the payments, whatever's going to happen, I've watched homeowners and real estate investors go down with a sinking ship. I mean, get on the lifeboat, get out, regroup, restructure what you have to do. You know, I had a house in South Florida that had a mortgage payment of $1,700 on it, but then because of property tax increases and insurance, the $1,700 payment went to $4,800 a month.
Wow.
That's a substantial increase.
Sure.
And it had nothing to do with the mortgage interest rate or being a variable rate mortgage. It was a fixed mortgage. From a pure business decision, what do you do? Well, if it goes from $1,700 to $4,800 a month and you can only rent it out for $1,900, business decision, you know, business owners are very familiar with the phrase, sometimes you need to know when to cut your losses.
Right.
And I've watched real estate investors not honor the same phrase and not look at a piece of real estate the same way. And many times because they're emotionally attached, they might live there. It might be their home. But if it's an investment piece of property, you know, you've got to do what's in your best financial interest. The bank gave you the mortgage. They gave you the loan. They had all their experts say that the house is worth it, and they made a mistake. That's how I kind of look at it. It's a business decision. You might need to just step away and regroup. You know, like hitting a little button on your dashboard where all the zeros come back and you start at a mile one again.
Peter Palmer is our guest today, and that's a great analogy. We're talking about real estate investing in the state of the economy on the day of our State of the Union Address, 2010. If you'd like to be on the show, we'd love to hear from you at 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. I'm Burke Allen, broadcasting live in the nation's capital. And Peter, you touched on something that I'd like to get into a little bit, and that is, you said you had your own series of personal character-building moments. Many times when we talk about money, we talk about investing, we get advice from people who seem to never go wrong. They seem to, you know, be building on perhaps, you know, family wealth that sure, they've grown themselves, but they started with a full deck of cards. What sort of character-building moments have you gone through? Because I know with your background as a firefighter, paramedic, those guys work real hard. They're not super well compensated.
No, they're not. It causes me to laugh because when I was a firefighter paramedic working for a particular department down here in South Florida, my base rate of pay was like $24,000 a year. And now with real estate, I mean, most of the deals I do make double that.
Sure.
In one deal. You know, it's funny. Financial advice comes from all sides. And I'd be the first one to say, look at who's giving you the advice. I'll tell you, a lot of the people who have what seem to be rosy backgrounds and don't do anything wrong are just not admitting the mistakes they've made. And I think that's not wise. I mean, people make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. That's a well-established moniker in the school systems. We learn from our mistakes. If you haven't made a mistake, you're lying, is quite frankly what I see. Now, a lot of people also take financial advice from people who make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. That's not the wisest decision, depending on where you want to go. If you want to make $500,000 a year, you better talk to someone who's done it. You know, walking into your local bank branch is not going to give you the person who's done that. You know, they might deal with that kind of money, but they have no idea what to do with $200,000 if it should ever show up.
Makes sense. What about a big misstep that you personally have made in your past that you've learned from and maybe some of our listeners can learn from today?
Well, you know, we all have our particular vices. Long before I was even in real estate investor, I had to deal with bankruptcy. You know, when I was 22, I had every credit card known to man. My wallet looked like a playing deck of cards with credit cards. And going down to the local electronics shops, if it was shiny and loud, I owned it. Couldn't afford to pay for it, but I owned it.
Sure.
You know, and some people have their different vices, be it alcohol or illegal substances or whatever. For me, credit cards were a problem. I don't use credit cards at all right now. If I don't have the cash for pay for it, I don't buy it. Years ago, I bought a brand new car. Stupid for me. A $40,000 car that 5 minutes after I drove off the lot, it was worth $26,000.
Right.
So most of the cars I buy now are 2 or 3 years old. I pay cash. I walk in with an official bank check, pay the dealership, and I take the car.
Makes perfect sense. How did you, by the way, get yourself out of all that credit card debt as a young person? Because we see this, you know, on a regular basis with the credit card companies targeting college students today.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, when I worked for the bank, you know, we had people that went out to the campus with credit card applications and had people sign them. You know, they're part-time in college. They make $300 a month. We gave them a $10,000 credit limit. Probably not the wisest thing to do. And like I said, I did get into trouble. I had to deal with bankruptcy to get out of that. Learned from that quite a bit. You know, continued to make, made a few other financial mistakes as well. But over the years, through my real estate investment, I got around the right people who listened to the following three words, which have become my moniker as it is to real estate as well as financial products. It's free and clear. You know, I buy real estate now. Most of it is bought with cash. It's free and clear. There's no mortgage on it whatsoever. Now, there may not be big fancy houses. They may be smaller houses. But
sure.
If the bank's not knocking on my door, I sleep better at night. Same thing with my automobiles. I own the title to all of my automobiles. I sleep better at night. I may not drive a $110,000 Mercedes, but I have the title.
You own the car. The car doesn't own you, so to speak.
Absolutely. So, hey, we step back. You know, in this country, a lot of people try to keep up with the Joneses. But, you know, as a real estate investor, I've dealt in the foreclosure market for over a decade. I can tell you the Joneses are in foreclosure or they're losing their car themselves. Quit worrying what they're doing.
Great advice from Peter Palmer today as we talk about money on WAMS on this, the day of the 2010 State of the Union Address. If you'd like to be on the show, our number is 718-506-1944. You have a new book that's just being released called Building Wealth in Your Self-Directed IRA. Tell us about the book and what your inspiration was there.
Well, over the years as an investor, doing everything that I do, the self-directed IRA is a powerful, powerful tool that's been around for quite some time now. And for those of you who have Roth IRAs or can still open Roth IRAs, I recommend you get out there and do it. Do it now. And self-direction, now, less than 1% of the population is involved with self-directed. And very simply, that means you can actually direct your IRA, your individual retirement account, to go buy a piece of property across the street from you. It can be very, very specific. It's not self-directed like a bank would tell you where you come in, you pick one of 10 funds. That's not self-directed. Self-directed is when I buy the house at, you know, 452 Clifton Street. And then if it has rental income, all the income goes back into the IRA. If you simply buy it and then sell it and make a profit, it goes back into the IRA. Let me give you, for instance, I recently had an IRA buy a property at an auction, a tax auction, for $4,000. The IRA paid for the property for $4,000, then the property was sold for $18,500. Well, the $14,500 in profit went right back into the IRA. It's not a contribution. The beauty of this is one or two well-placed deals each year, and you've got retirement taken care of. You know, I'm in an age bracket where Social Security, or like I call it social insecurity, I have no expectation of receiving a check from that fund ever. I don't think it'll be around at that point in time. And it was never designed to do what people take it for now. They take a monthly check and they use that for their entire living expenses. It was supposed to be one piece of a four-legged stool, you know, included with pensions, your personal savings, and your other assets. So self-direction, you know, I have a customer we had who had a $5,000 IRA account, and in just under 5 years we took the value of that to about $500,000.
Is that right?
That's not contributions. That's not putting in a contribution. That's letting the IRA pick and choose its own investments, make a profit, and the profit goes back into the IRA. And the real beauty of this is you can self-direct educational IRAs for your children. You know, my little kids, I have young children, 2 years old, one's almost four, and we take pictures of them, put them into our postcards for our marketing, and we pay them a modeling fee.
That's great.
They have earned income.
That's fantastic. Peter Palmer with some great hands-on advice about the self-directed IRAs and investing in those, especially it sounds like in the real estate world. What's the tax implication in those self-directed IRAs when you do have a profit on a property like the one you mentioned where you bought it at $4,000 and sold it at $18,500?
Well, the tax implication, and you're going to love this part, depends on the type of IRA that it's in. If it's a traditional IRA, that profit is, of course, tax-deferred. And then when your IRA distributes money to you after age 59 and a half, you pay tax based on your current income level. If it's a Roth IRA, Since your money is already taxed that goes into the Roth IRA, all the earnings are tax-free, and all the distributions are tax-free. The Roth IRA was bought about in 1997. It's probably one of the best financial tools that has ever been created by our elected officials. And it's tax-free on the earnings and tax-free on the distribution. The problem is that you have an income requirement. If you make more than X amount of dollars, you can't open a Roth. Now, for real estate professionals right now who may have seen their income drop over the past couple of years, they may, in fact, qualify income-wise to go open their Roths. And I recommend you do it immediately. You have up until tax day of this year to contribute for 2009. Because I think into 2010, 2011, we're going to watch things start to improve a little bit. I think 2009, most people are glad it's gone. and I think we're going to see some improvement. But the Roth IRA is tax-free on earnings and tax-free on distribution. It's a fantastic, fantastic tool. By far the best thing I think I've ever seen created by our elected officials.
And, you know, there aren't a whole lot of good things that are created by elected officials, I must say myself. So
that was the direction I was going with that.
I hear the music behind us. We're coming up on a break. Our guest is Peter Palmer. And back with more great sound financial advice from Peter in just a couple of minutes. This is WAMS Radio.
Do you like to get up in front of groups? Do you like to speak and share your ideas with others? Or do you need to speak to be more successful? We can help. Just go to SeminarOnSeminars.com. The Seminar on Seminars is an intensive two-day hands-on event that will give you all the tools necessary to double or even triple your income as a seminar promoter, regardless of what field you're in. You'll learn the seven deadly sins seminar leaders make and how you can avoid them, how to develop a cash-in-your-sleep autopilot product marketing system, five keys to selling 35 to 50% more products from the platform, speaking tips that'll dramatically increase your evaluations and repeat customers, and much more. Go to SeminarOnSeminars.com now. That's SeminarOnSeminars.com. Or to get a special deal for Seminar on Seminars, call 800-345-DEAL, 800-345-DEAL, or visit SeminarOnSeminars.com. Do it now. That's SeminarOnSeminars.com.
Welcome to WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Bert Gallup, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., and our guest today, joining us from South Florida, is investor, entrepreneur, and talk show host at 880 The Biz in Miami, Peter Palmer. We're talking about retirement, and Peter is a father of two youngsters, I think you said ages 4 and 2. Retirement is hugely important to folks in your age range. How do you get people who are younger, who are just getting into the workforce, to really care about retirement and make that a priority to them?
That's a challenge. Admittedly, when I was 20 years old working for a police department and the guy came in to talk about retirement, I was trying everything I could do not to fall asleep on the seminar myself.
Sure.
It's a challenge. So I do a lot of public speaking, and by that I hope to impart what my own thoughts are, what my own experiences are, to get out there. You know, I like with my kids now, have their own self-directed IRAs, and I think the habit, if you start it young enough, will then translate itself as the years go on. You know, my little kids have self-directed IRAs for retirement. They also have educational self-directed IRAs right the second as well. And when they're 14 years old and working part-time jobs and they have no debt and they have no credit cards, and you can instill to put 10 or 15% aside for retirement, you know, when they don't have the bills, that habit, it takes, 30 days for a habit to become a fact for you if you just stick with it, you know, whether that's exercise or saving money or whatever. So if we start that a little bit younger, you know, that will stick. Because when I was 18 or 19, no one ever talked to me about finances. And unfortunately, at the fire station, that was just not the topic of conversation about finances. It wasn't until I got around those people. You know, statistically, your income is within 15 to 20% of the top 10 people that you hang around with. Now, no offense against any firefighter or police officer I ever work with, but their income is not where I want to be at this point in time. So I've had to upgrade the people that I get my advice from considerably. You know, in the course of a year, in South Florida, if you make $200,000 a year, that's not really considered a lot of money, where in other parts of the country, that's considered a fortune.
Sure.
200 grand just doesn't go as far down here as it does in, you know, Minnesota. But who are you taking your advice from? You know, for me, that's changed over the years. Over the past 10 years, you know, I used to take my financial advice from the local guy at the bank. Now every one of the people that are in my core circle of advisors make $1 million a year or better. You know, I'm in fact probably the poorest person anywhere near my group, and I want to be the poorest person because I'm learning from them. Okay, and that's the important part for me. And those habits, you know, as far as your kids are concerned, your kids, we've heard it all, do what I say, not what I do. Well, example isn't everything, it's the only thing. So do the example, be the example, because they're going to watch exactly what you're doing. And you're going to make mistakes, you know, but your kids and your family members need to see how you react to those mistakes. Don't sweep it under the carpet and hide from it. Deal with it. Take it head on. It's not easy. Again, I call them character building moments. It's not easy to handle that kind of stuff. Look, I've made $50,000 and $100,000 mistakes. I've produced events that were $75,000 in the hole. How do you recover from that? But you do. It's just money. You make some more. Get out there and make some more.
Great common sense advice from Peter Palmer today at WAMS. And Sam is on the line in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Sam. We're talking money with real estate investor and entrepreneur Peter Palmer. What's your question?
Hey, Peter. I was just wondering, what's the best way to start an IRA when you're self-employed?
Oh, even better. When you're self-employed, you have the ability to do a SEP plan. And the SEP plan allows you to put about 25% of your income, your qualified income, up to a maximum of about $47,000 per year. So first of all, talk to your accountant, look at your finances, see what's going on, because most people who are self-employed that qualify to open a SEP plan can also still open the Roth. Now, the Roth has a restriction of $5,000 a year that you can put into it, but with the earnings being tax-free and the distribution being tax-free, it's still one of the best vehicles. But if you can do both, I strongly encourage it. You know, again, most of the realtor people I know or the attorneys that I know or the doctors that I know that are self-employed, especially if you're beginning in your business and income isn't quite high yet, that's a great time to open the Roth. Do that while you can. Maximize the Roth and then start to maximize what you can do on your SEP plan. 25% of your salary up to $47,000 a year is a considerable amount of money.
And so, Peter, again, you suggest to do the Roth IRA first and then the SEP.
Yeah, based on the tools that exist right now, if your income is below the maximums that they have out there and you qualify for the Roth, I would always recommend you fund that 100% first. Absolutely. And a lot of people who start businesses part-time, they're working full-time, might have a 401k plan at work. Well, again, fund the 401k at work as much as you can, then open your Roth, and then let's look at the SEP and start putting together more money.
Makes sense. Sam, did that answer your question?
Yep, I got it. Thanks.
Very good.
Thanks for calling. If you'd like to find out more about Peter Palmer, where can they visit you online, or what's the best way to get in touch with you, Peter?
Well, we have two ways. Our online presence is at www.palmercommand.com. They can also reach us toll-free at 888-958-7227. Again, that's 888-958-7227. And you can feel free to give us a call, ask the questions, or go through our website and just email us a question, and we'll go from there. We'll respond back to you and give you some thoughts.
Sounds great. Now, Peter, in our remaining moments, let's talk about real estate. I know that an awful lot of your personal business is tied up in real estate. You're in South Florida, which was just hammered in the real estate market. How has that affected things for you personally, and does a down economy in real estate present its own set of opportunities?
I hate to make the comment, considering the present environment, that I'm dancing in the streets because of the opportunities that present themselves, but in all reality, I am. You know, it's buy one, get one free day out here. It's double coupon day on a house. You know,
right.
When I bought a house for $70,000 10 years ago that then sold for $350,000, I can buy the same house now for $50,000. That's exciting for me as an investor. I believe you're in one of the most opportune times that we've seen in the past 80 years to go out there and pick up some property. You know, through some of the different products that we offer, we show you how to even cash flow vacant land. You know, people don't think that you can cash flow vacant land. There's no tenants, there's no toilets, there's no headaches. We show you how to buy properties. I just bought a 3-bedroom, 1-bed house in Jacksonville for $3,200.
Is that right?
How wrong can you possibly go with that kind of money?
$3,200.
Yeah. Now, it's not a 5,000-square-foot house, but again, for $3,200, how wrong can you possibly go?
Well, that's right. That's used car money right there.
I've owned cars that cost me more than that, that were in worse condition.
That's exactly right. How about you personally? Did you really get hurt when you saw these property values fall? And if so, you know, how have you recovered? If not, how did you mitigate those losses?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, in one of my particular seminars that we do, we show you some indicators that we look for in the timelines. In March of 2005, my investor friends and I were talking about the impending downfall and the impending tsunami of foreclosures. Now, some of the people I worked for at the time thought I was nuts and said, "You don't know what you're talking about." Well, look at where we are today. Most of my South Florida holdings I sold in 2003, 2004, and 2005. So I got out at the height of the market because I knew, you know, one thing about a height of a market is you know it's going to be followed by a decline at some point in time.
Right.
So the music will stop playing. I chose to not be the guy waiting for the next chair.
Do you think that most of this was caused by, and you hear this a lot in the media, caused by greed, or was in fact, you know, most of it caused by, you know, Mr. and Mrs. America who tried to get, you know, one extra property to add a little bit of value to their retirement and maybe overextended themselves?
All of those things. Number one, Mr. and Mrs. America violated the first couple of rules of buying an investment, and we buy based on an acronym called IDEAL. That's I stands for income, D stands for depreciation, E stands for equity, A stands for appreciation, and L stands for leverage. So the very first thing that you want to know if a property has is income or significant equity. And let's look at pre-construction for a minute. Absolutely no income, absolutely no big equity. From the word go, bad idea for most people. Never should have done it.
Makes perfect sense, and I know there was an awful lot of that down in your neck of the woods in Florida with beachfront condos.
A great time to sell them if you're an agent or someone like that, because people will buy regardless of what you tell them.
And today you talk about essentially the concept that America is on sale, and it is. You can get unbelievable deals at next to nothing, but of course the other side of that coin is it's really, really difficult to line up financing. Or am I wrong there? Is it possible to get financing to make these deals?
If the deal is good enough, the money will always show up. Now, you've got to think differently. You know, you've got to think creative. You've got to push the envelope. I don't walk down to my local bank branch to get a loan on a house, especially if it's missing half of a roof, the windows are gone, and the pool is green. They're not going to lend anyway. However, my pool of money comes from my other investors who have self-directed IRAs, and they can direct those IRAs to make loans to me. We call them hard money loans to buy the pieces of real estate. Qualifications are 30 minutes and a lunch.
Forget and then you're in it done.
And the deal is done. I make my money. They make their money. We both go home happy.
If someone is listening now and they say, "Man, this sounds fantastic, but I have no idea where to start," how would you direct them? Because one would think it's a pretty difficult, complicated, detail-oriented process.
Well, it is. The first thing you can do, and you never want to stop, is education. You know, I attend seminars. I have 15 years ago. I do today. I go to seminars every year. I learn as much as I can. And the onus is on me to learn what I need to learn. It's not necessarily on the presenter. I need to go there and pick up something new. Because one idea from a seminar could have a lifetime value to you of $50,000, $100,000, $1 million. You never know. You know, I picked up an idea 14 years ago that was a 79-cent solution on a piece of real estate. That's probably saved me close to $92,000 on deals. So a 79-cent idea, $92,000 in savings. You know, I have a couple of other products. Like, we have our Real Estate Nuts and Bolts home study course, and in that we go over 30 different areas of investing in real estate because we want you to look at what's out there. Just because foreclosures are the buzzword doesn't mean it's right for you. Some people hear the word tenants and they cringe. Well, cash flow and vacant land might work for you. If there's no tenant living there, there's no one to kick out. There's no one to kick your house. You know, I do have tenants. I expect them to do certain things. That's what insurance is for. You know, and I know that going into it, and I'm okay with that. So people just need to look at what their personality is, what they're willing to take for risk. You know, if you can't sleep at night, you're risking too much.
Great nuts and bolts advice from Peter Palmer. He's in South Florida. You can visit him online at palmercommand.com or call toll-free 888-958-7227. And if you're in South Florida, listen to him on the air at 880thebiz.com. When is your show on the air, Peter?
We are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. And you can also listen to us online live at www.880thebiz.com. Just click on Listen Live from 1 to 2, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Fantastic advice from Peter Palmer today to shore up your finances in this most difficult and challenging environment. Thanks for listening today in Washington, D.C. I'm Burke Allen on WAMS Radio. Now go out and make it a great day.